What was once one of the world's biggest Bitcoin exchanges, Mt. Gox, has filed for bankruptcy protection in Japan. The unregulated exchange admitted to losing 850,000 Bitcoins worth more than $450 million.
Mt. Gox's chief executive, Mark Capellas, blamed the loss on hacking into its faulty computer system.
The company is considering filing a criminal complaint as it believes there's a high likelihood that Bitcoins were stolen.
Six hacks. $475 million. One question. How? Ultimate catastrophe. How Mt. Gox lost half a billion dollars and nearly killed Bitcoin, by Mark Hunter. Relive the birth, growth, and extraordinary death of Mt. Gox with the help of those who built it, used it, and investigated its demise. Ultimate Catastrophe by Mark Hunter. Out now.
Contented Media presents Dr. Bitcoin, The Man Who Wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, an original podcast series with Mark Hunter and Arthur Van Pelt.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Bitcoin, The Man Who Wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto, and the first of we don't know how many special episodes detailing the court case that we've all been waiting for, Copa versus Craig Wright. This is the most important case in Craig Wright's history since he exploded into the news agenda in December 2015 as the supposed creator of Bitcoin. Multiple court cases and defeats have come and gone since then, but ever since it was filed in April 2021, those of us who have been hoping to see Craig Wright permanently silenced, if not shackled, with regard to his Satoshi claims, have been counting down the days until the trial starts on January 15th, 2024. Lots has been written and said about the Copa case since it was filed, especially over the past few weeks in the lead up to the trial, but what you're about to hear is the most comprehensive explainer of what the Copa case is, how we got here, and the impact a negative verdict could have on not just Craig Wright's Satoshi claims, but the man himself. With me as usual to discuss this crypto trial of the century is a man who knows all too well just what is on the line here, given that he's been waiting for it for longer than me. It's Arthur Van Pelt. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Mark. It's good to be back for the what I think is the most anticipated event of next year, the Copa trial.
Yes, I mean, it's not too much of a stretch to say that this Copa case is going to define Craig Wright's career and cement his legacy one way or another. Without going into too much detail, which we have plenty of time for, what does this case mean to you?
It's funny to notice that the Copa case has grown from what I think is a rather simple, does Craig Wright have legitimately Bitcoin copyright, yes or no? And now it has become the most anticipated case of Craig's career. I mean, look at Twitter, where we, of course, operate mostly. Everybody's talking about it now, not only in the Bitcoin community, especially also in the BSV community. They're all talking about it. And yeah, of course, most expect Craig to win. And we will discuss this a bit more in this episode and in the next episode why the chances of Craig are zero, to be honest. But we will get into that for a bit more. But what this means to me, and we will see Craig's career in the Bitcoin industry end somewhere in 2024. That's what I expect, and we will explain in these episodes why I think that.
Yeah, we've been waiting, I think, about 2.5 years for this, so I think it's about time we get into it.
Yep.
COPA, or the Cryptocurrency Open Patent Alliance, was formed in September 2020 with the aim of encouraging the, quote, adoption and advancement of cryptocurrency technologies and to remove patents as a barrier to growth and innovation, unquote. On its website, COPA states its rationale and aims, which, for those who know a little bit about this crazy story we've been telling for the past 2 years, might ring a bell. Quote, "The success of cryptocurrency depends on the community coming together to build and develop upon existing technologies to innovate, which is not possible when the parties tie up the technologies in patents and litigation. Accordingly, COPPA members take on a pledge to never assert their patents on foundational cryptocurrency technology against anyone except for defensive reasons, and also agree to pool their patents together in a shared patent library such that any member has access to use another member's patent defensively if they are forced into patent litigation by an aggressor." Unquote. Craig Wright, on the other hand, has a different take on what COPPA is.
And for those who are listening who don't know who COPPA is, do you want to just share who COPPA consists of and what they're about?
Oh, basically, they're a bunch of Silicon Valley a-holes who have this idea that I'm the Antichrist because I don't want to proverbially rape everyone's out because of their data and information. I want a world where individuals own their own data, that none of this sort of selling information is even considered to be allowable.
As COPPA outlined in its mission statement, it plans to take a two-pronged approach to achieving its goals, namely preventing its member companies from asserting their crypto patents in anything other than a defensive way, and by creating a shared patent library that allowed members to use each other's patents as needed defensively against patent aggressors. Arthur, there's not much doubt here, but just in case anyone out there is listening after a particularly heavy night, who exactly is COPPA referring to here?
They will probably never admit it at COPPA, of course, but I think one of the driving forces behind the forming of COPPA is Enchain gathering many patents and threatening to use them as an instrument to harass the cryptocurrency industry, especially the Bitcoin industry. Unless this industry starts using BSV, which is the knockoff of Bcash as we know them. Because for BSV, the Enchain patents, with many of them having the name Craig Wright connected to them, yeah, the usage of these patents are free. But when you operate in the Bitcoin, the real Bitcoin industry, then when you want to use something from the BSV patent portfolio, then you have to pay a license fee, and that's where Enchain is hoping to make some money.
COPPA was founded by Jack Dorsey's company Square, now Block, with Coinbase joining soon after. They were joined by MicroStrategy on February 5th, 2021, by which time Craig Wright had done something rather silly. In 2019, Wright filed copyright registrations for the Bitcoin White Paper and Bitcoin Code with the US Copyright Office, a process that involved no evidence gathering from the Copyright Office whatsoever. Most rational people saw this for what it was, but Wright used his award to demand that a raft of organizations hosting the Bitcoin White Paper take it down or face his wrath. Recipients included Bitcoin.org and BitcoinCore.org, the latter of which voluntarily took it down, while the former took on Wright in court but lost on a default judgment after its owner, Cobra Bitcoin, refused to divulge his true identity. One of these recipients was COPPA founding member Square, and Arthur, what was their response?
Square probably found it a good job for COPPA to handle. So they handed this to COPPA, who sent a reply to Ontier on February the 5th, 2021. Basically, they ask Craig Wright to prove that he is Satoshi and holds any Bitcoin-related copyright. And they had like 9 questions, and all of them had to do with the white paper. They wanted to know when he wrote it, where he was when he wrote it, and who, if anybody, he wrote it with, and if he had another job while he was writing it. So interestingly, they add too that they hope the matter can be resolved without the need for litigation.
COPPA gave Wright 2 weeks to respond to the questions, by which time Wright's supporters were aware that something was brewing. A Reddit post claimed that the formation of COPPA, quote, "looks to be a knee-jerk reaction to the large number of patents held by Enchain and Craig," unquote, but this apparently wouldn't be a problem because, quote, "Craig has billions in assets to burn. These patents and copyrights likely predate all of theirs, and they will all have to pay royalties," unquote. Another claimed that COPPA, quote, "decided to play nasty games, made a communist claim that whatever CSW makes is theirs, branded it as something open, and tried to force everyone into it," unquote. Arthur, this is a central point to the case that many in Craig Wright land simply don't understand. This lawsuit has nothing to do with patents. It's all about the Bitcoin white paper and the cease and desist letters sent to try and force them to take it down. We need to cover this here so it's absolutely clear for everyone. What exactly do the BSV supporters claim COPPA is trying to do, and why is it nonsense?
Basically, the Craig Wright, the BSV camp, is trying to imply that COPPA is after the Craig Wright patents. They try to confiscate them, or try to get hold of them, try to make use of them, try to make money from them. I don't know. But that's nonsense, of course, because the Craig Wright-related patents are all being held by an Enchain subsidiary, and whatever happens in the court ruling, whether Craig is Satoshi or whether he is not being declared Satoshi, whether Craig has Bitcoin copyright or whether he has not Bitcoin copyright, whatever happens, Enchain will always keep holding those patents. The whole lawsuit is not about exchanging ownership of Craig Wright-related patents. So no court ruling will ever take them away from Enchain or their subsidiary. But the fear that is behind this narrative is that the Craig Wright patents are less valuable when Craig Wright is not being declared Satoshi. And there, there is a little bit of truth in there. If Craig Wright is not found to be Satoshi, and when he is not found to have any copyright, then of course those patents might be less valuable. But taking them away from Enchain or the subsidiary, that is absolutely not the case. COPPA is not after any patents at all. It was just that they have been requested to sue Craig Wright, and we will go into the details of that a bit later. But they were just being asked to sue Craig Wright. That's all.
Wright chose not to respond to COPPA's 9 questions, with Antier claiming that it was, quote, an improper attempt to extract evidential material about our client and his claim to which your client and its members have no entitlement at this time, unquote. This led to COPPA suing Wright in April 2021, claiming that he was not the author or the owner of the Bitcoin white paper, and that his continued legal enforcement of this falsity was detrimental to Bitcoin development and its members' interests, quote, the claimant and its members must be free to post, discuss, comment upon, and otherwise utilize the Bitcoin white paper in order to freely promote innovation, unquote. Arthur, in its filing, COPPA pointed to 3 areas where Wright had failed to prove his candidacy as Satoshi. What were these?
Yeah, they noted that that Craig did not prove his Satoshiness by signing, for example, the Genesis block. Craig has not been using ever one of the known Satoshi email addresses. Well, they did find evidence of Craig Wright trying to use Satoshi addresses, but it was all spoofed, they found, so it was forged evidence. Same story for using Satoshi's Bitcoin forum accounts, for example, on the P2P Foundation, on the Bitcoin forum itself, on the Bitcoin.org website, etc. So yeah, these actions are so extremely obvious to do when you try to prove that you are somebody. They are free, they only take a few seconds, let's say a few minutes to perform. Let's be honest, if I would be confronted with an email, with a genuine forum post by Satoshi, but dated in 2023 or 2024, it would immediately convince me, like, whoa, this is something. There's something going on here. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that for 99.99% of the people out there, it's the same story. So why would Craig Wright choose the not so obvious route that is costing him, or better, his sponsor Calvin Air, for most of the time, millions and millions in dollars? And yeah, let's be honest, if we look at the results so far, it did not help to convince anyone. It's so simple. 5 minutes work, just sign the sentences block, and you have 99% of the people behind you. Mm-hmm.
The rest of the pleading featured the usual lies, forgeries, and inconsistencies produced by Wright over his Satoshi claims that listeners to this podcast will be well used to by now. COPPA cited 4 pieces of evidence to back up its claim. The public key Wright tried to pass off as Satoshi Nakamoto's private key in his 2016 Sartre post, his blacknet applications that allegedly featured the Bitcoin white paper abstract going back to 2001, a March 2008 email to Dave Kleinman that was a known forgery, and a so-called final version of the Bitcoin white paper supposedly from August 2008. As for Copa's demands, it sought an injunction preventing Wright from claiming that he was the author or owner of the Bitcoin white paper and its copyright. But Arthur, this belies the severity of the charge. Tell us about how a defeat would impact Craig Wright in a real-world scenario.
Yeah, that means that he did not reach his goals that he was aiming for. I mean, we have a few hundred million people working with Bitcoin. We have around 800-900 exchanges worldwide are using Bitcoin, which is the BTC version of Bitcoin. We have merchants, we have payment processors, we have data services, we have between 50 and 100, and some even think that there are more, probably closer to 150,000 of nodes. And most of them are hidden or behind Tor, so we don't know that they are exist, but the known to exist is more than 50,000 at the moment. Mm. All those nodes are working with BTC. They have BTC software. So what will go wrong in that scenario is that Craig Wright will not be able to update, upgrade, or change all that infrastructure into a BSV infrastructure. When he is not declared Satoshi, when he is not declared having any copyright, and when it is declared that his BSV is certainly not something resembling Bitcoin, so to say.
And then what would happen to BSV then? Because he's been planning for this and trying to achieve this for so many years now. So if he loses and he can no longer call himself Satoshi, what's the impact on BSV? Does it change what BSV can and can't do?
When I'm in a playful mood, I will say that BSV will crash together with Craig Wright's narrative of being Satoshi when he is declared not being Satoshi. Of course, there is still this hardcore group of Craig Wright and BSV fans that will try to keep the BSV project alive. They might try to keep it alive for a bit. On the other hand, I can see it crash even further. It's already on a death trajectory anyway. The reputation of BSV is rather low. I mean, the technical performance is abysmal. They don't really scale. They advertise that they can handle a lot of transactions. But who cares about transactions when a SQL database can 10 times, 100 times do more transactions and is even safer than the whole environment of BSV? So BSV is not making any dent in the industry of being a competitor in any way when it comes to data or transactions or store of value or being able to do a lot of financial transactions, because they don't. And they don't have any customers to show for it either. They are, of course, hoping that Craig Wright will be declared Satoshi, so it will get a boost. But yeah, I don't see it happen from any angle.
Now, in the interests of balance, we should also look at what would happen were Craig Wright to win, which, with the British court system, is perfectly possible. If Craig Wright does emerge as the victor, what can he do with that result?
He could be declared Satoshi and not having copyright. The opposite could also happen. He could not be declared Satoshi, but still have copyright, which would not make any sense, because that would mean an action that the Bitcoin developers have handed their copyright to Craig Wright. Now, as far as I know, that never happened between 2010 and 2023, so that is also impossible. Now, another thing that is being ruled about is, of course, the copyright itself. Does Craig Wright have copyright, either as Satoshi Nakamoto or as Craig Wright? Now, my prediction is not as Satoshi Nakamoto and not as Craig Wright, so that will be an easy one. And a third one, that is a rather recent one, and maybe not all our listeners are aware of that. COPPA requested, can we add a third ruling to this case? Is Craig Wright a fraud, a serial forger, and is he dishonest? And Judge Meller said, yes, we will add that to the accusations, and I'm going to rule about that. Now, probably not people, many people realize that, but this is really a big thing, because when it comes to fraud, serial forgery and dishonesty, perjury and etc., it's going to make the difference. Is it going to be a civil case or is it going to be picked up as a criminal case? If it is going to be determined that Craig Wright is in a criminal way fraudulently trying to influence this lawsuit to become Satoshi and grab his dirty fingers on the copyright of Bitcoin, and not only the Bitcoin, but also several whale addresses for the mind stash, he needs to be Satoshi, and then he can push forward with an roughly 900,000 Bitcoin extra on the mind stash of Satoshi if he would ever try that. Now, let's say that he wins on being Satoshi, and on top of that, that he is having a copyright, then what it is all about, after all, with respect to all the other cases going on, then what? Now, firstly, Craig can continue with the three halted cases against Kraken and Coinbase about passing off with BTC as Bitcoin and a whole bunch of defendants in the copyright and database rights and file format case. Those are the three cases that are halted, and he can continue with them. Now, in the latter case, Craig is meeting COPPA again, by the way. But secondly, and that's only when he wins all the three cases, he can collect substantial damages from Kraken and Coinbase and others for passing off. And that might potentially run into the billions, and not just billions, multiple billions, because that is what he is claiming. And if the judge is saying in those cases, okay, I agree with that, those parties have been piggybacking on the name of BTC, while BSV is actually the real Bitcoin, then the holder of the copyright of BTC is entitled to all the profits being made since, well, let's say about, 10 years for passing off the wrong Bitcoin to the world outside. So he might earn billions and billions in penalties from the exchanges, especially Coinbase and Kraken, because that are now the exchanges that he is suing. Now, what he also can try, and I cannot even imagine how he's going to do it, but let's play along again. He can try to replace the whole existing BTC infrastructure with a BSV infrastructure. And let's be honest, it will be nothing short of a massive undertaking. The merchants, the payment processors, the exchanges, the data service companies, and they all have to kick their BTC infra out, their nodes and everything. They have to replace them with a BSV node, and they start to give different payment options in their software. Now, will BSV rename to BTC? Is also another question. Or will BTC simply cease to exist, as it will be an unlawful or illegal token to be used in the future, based on how the ruling is falling? So I'm only trying to imagine what might happen in this parallel universe. This is never going to happen, but you asked me to play along, and I did.
Yeah, I apologize for making you think like Craig Wright. I'll try not to do it again.
Nay, it's okay. I mean, every now and then you have to play the devil's advocate. That's good. Yes. That's good. No problem.
The reaction from Wright's camp over the lawsuit was, well, predictable. Calvin Ayer said that the COPPA lawsuit was brilliant and should have happened a long time ago, adding, "We're all happy about this." He then, rather prematurely, told COPPA on Twitter that Blockstream submits to jurisdiction through COPPA in Craig's hometown and gives Craig the benefit of evidence as a defendant and lets Craig get all his evidence in so many ways in front of a judge in the best way he could have dreamed of. Ayer was so delighted, in fact, that he replied to any tweet he could find on the issue of the COPPA case on the day it was filed, calling the lawsuit a major strategic mistake by COPPA, and even claimed that it was like Craig tricked them into suing him. He went further, telling CoinDesk and, again, Copa on Twitter that the lawsuit was a gift from the gods, adding that Wright could not have asked for a better move and that he expected that Wright has the champagne out. Air's outfit CoinGeek also jumped on the bandwagon, claiming, quote, "What BTC supporters are not noticing, or are deliberately ignoring, is that Dr. Wright's claim to have authored the Bitcoin white paper is a real one, and that he feels he has enough evidence to defend his claim in court. In fact, it's highly likely that defending it in court is something he wants to do." Unquote. Air painted an altogether different picture just 3 days later, however, when he accused Coinbase, a Copa member, of, quote, "bullying the inventor of Bitcoin in the UK courts," unquote, and linked to a story about the Copa case. Arthur, can you trick someone into bullying you?
Whew. Yeah, good question. I mean, maybe you can, but I wouldn't know how that works exactly. And
no,
I'm pretty sure that has not been the case here either, you know?
No, definitely not. The major issue that Wright's supporters had with the case was their belief that Copa was going after Craig Wright's patents, as this BSV YouTuber explained.
The fact that the true inventor of Bitcoin has got people trying to, you know, attack him. This is how bad it's got. And thank goodness it's going in the courts to be run through. And, you know, once this evidence comes out and Dr. Craig Wright starts slapping down all the evidence, all the historical facts, you know, it's going to be an absolute home run for BSV.
Yeah, don't go holding your breath while you listen out for those slapping sounds. The same YouTuber had a very clear idea of where his hero and serial forger sits in the pantheon of great inventors.
It's pretty much a bit of a cartel, you know, a cartel of crypto that's gathering together to try to take down Enchain. And the reason I wanted to bring up famous inventors was because throughout history, you know, people have from their own effort, including Leonardo da Vinci, Nikola Tesla, you know, Benjamin Franklin, the Wright brothers, Thomas Edison, you know, have been inventors. And I think it's fair to say that Dr. Craig Wright, when you look at the amount of sheer work that he's been doing, falls into this category.
Arthur, you've been knee-deep in Craig Wright's patents in recent months. What are the odds that he'll be held in the same regard as Leonardo da Vinci and the Wright brothers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Craig Wright was also bullish on the lawsuit, telling his Slack group, "People ask why I am Christian and believe. Why ask God to be a part of your life? Why choose to think there is more? Then, Copa comes along and you see your wishes and deepest desires answered. You worry about people running and that the cases are difficult to get before a judge. Then, by the grace of God, and it has to be, there is no way that level of stupidity can exist outside of a miracle." Unquote. Calvin Ayer replied to this to say, quote, "Wait until someone with a brain at Copa figures out how stupid this is and see them try to back out." Unquote. Wright filed his first defence in May 2021, where he argued that he used to have the private keys to the Bitcoin blocks and access to Satoshi Nakamoto's email address, but sadly, he no longer did. He did not say why this was. When it came to the Bitcoin Talk login, Wright denied that he had ever had access to the Satoshi Nakamoto Bitcoin Talk account, saying that it was, quote, "created by other persons," unquote, after he ceased to operate under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto in April 2011. Wright also denied all the other charges laid at his door by Copa, and couldn't help but get in a few references of BSV being the real Bitcoin, naturally. In July, Wright posted a lengthy message to his Slack group in which he touched on a lot of issues brought up by the Copa and Kleinman trials. Wright boasted, again, about his hundreds of degrees, masters and other qualifications, and then engaged in his usual rhetoric. Quote, "Unfortunately for Copa and Core and all of those in Silicon Valley who believe in power and control and that they can dictate the actions of others, I am not that person. Unfortunately for all these people, despite my desire to remain unknown, world has deemed it necessary for my life to be exposed. As a consequence, in the next couple of years, you're about to learn just how much a single human can do. It is more than you will believe. I am terribly sorry, Copa et al., but you are all about to discover what you have decided to take on, and it is not what you thought. I am that thing that you were afraid to exist. I am the creator of Bitcoin, but beyond that, I am everything that Silicon Valley fears." Unquote. In September 2021, Copa filed a re-amended particulars of claim, after which CoinGeek oddly criticised the group for being completely inactive following the filing of the lawsuit the prior April, conversely suggesting that this meant it had made, quote, very little progress, unquote, in its case. It then claimed that Copa had, quote, attacked the copyright held in the Bitcoin white paper by Dr. Craig Wright, unquote, when it was, of course, Wright who had fired the starter pistol, although CoinGeek seemed to forget this, claiming, quote, Dr. Wright hasn't taken action against Copa or any of its members, unquote. We then got a repeat of the patent angle, with CoinGeek asking, quote, why on earth would a months-old organisation which claims to be concerned with software patents go out of its way to attack Dr. Wright, let alone as its debut move, unquote. It then published one of the least self-aware statements in its history. Quote, when you think back to the rapturous applause from those who were against Dr. Wright using the courts to assert his ownership over the white paper after Copa announced it was suing him, and then look at the total silence and inactivity to come from Copa since, you are seeing a critical reminder to question where your narratives are coming from, and to always check whether the people who say have the best interests of you or the innovators around you really do. Unquote. On September 28th, Wright filed what CoinGeek called a revealing defense before totally undermining itself yet again. Quote, in terms of content, there isn't much in the defense that will be surprising. Much of it is concerned with contradicting or correcting the narrative spun in Copa's particulars of claim, which is small work considering many of Copa's assertions are made without basis, while Dr. Wright's answers are simply those he has given many times before. Unquote. Of more interest was another filing made that day, in which Wright completely undermined Calvin Ayer's assertion that he couldn't wait to get all the evidence seen by a judge by asking the judge to disallow some of it. Arthur, what evidence did Craig Wright not want the court to see?
Craig protested against certain Kleinman versus Wright evidence from the Dr. Edmund reports about a specific Dave Kleinman email that was found a forgery, both in the Kleinman case and in the Copa case. It makes it more understandable if I just quote from the filing what they wanted. The following shall not be admissible in these proceedings. 1. Evidence regarding findings of fact made in the Kleinman litigation. 2. Evidence regarding the assertions made by members of the public referred to in paragraph 66 of the amended particulars of claim. And 3. Evidence to the effect that the email referred to in paragraph 66 of the amended particulars of claim was determined by other persons to be a forgery, and 4. Evidence as to the authenticity or otherwise of the email. Now, the email that they are talking about is one where Dave Kleinman supposedly appoints Win-Win as a director of WNK InfoDefense in December 2012. This is known to be a forgery for many reasons, including a PGP key attributed to Dave Kleinman, which Craig Wright, debunkers and others figured out pretty quickly has been backdated. So this is the members of the public that Craig's camp is speaking of. Now, what's also pretty funny here is that knowing as we do that Craig created this email pretending to be from Dave Kleinman, it includes the line, Craig is a great guy, but too volatile. So here we have Craig referring to himself as a great guy through the deceased Dave Kleinman.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Tickled me.
Nee, but anyway, Craig's team didn't like the thought of this evidence being included. And yeah, they also wanted critical opinions from Judge Bloom and Reinhardt from the Kleinman case also being prevented from being allowed as evidence, saying that it would be an abuse of the court's process to allow it. And it was likely to obstruct the just disposal of the proceedings.
Copa responded to this request in November by withdrawing the comments from Judge Bloom and Judge Reinhardt as Wright's team had requested, but not the accusations over the email, adding further information to bolster their argument, namely the 2012 deed of trust previously covered in this podcast, and which, Copa said, pointed to the existence of something called the Tulip Trust. Copa said that it would use the trial to prove that the deed of trust, and by extension the email, was a forgery, unless Wright cared to admit it first. Arthur, we know what Wright's defence will be here, don't we?
Oh, yeah. As usual, we can expect something along the lines of I was hacked or someone else did it. For this someone else, you can fill in basically anybody these days, like X-Staff, Anonymous, the hacking group, or Lulzak, another hacking group. You can fill in Ira Kleiman, you can fill in his wife, you can fill in his ex-wife. You can even fill in these days one of his counsels that he hired over the years. Yeah, you just name it, and he will find all kinds of excuses.
Judge Paul Matthews threw out all of Wright's claims, ruling that the fact that the public had weighed in on the matter of the PGP key was irrelevant, and stating that the trial, not a pre-trial hearing, was the place where evidentiary validity should be debated, with expert testimony to help. He also allowed COPA's addition of the deed of trust into its particulars of claim, something that it wouldn't have done had Craig Wright's team not challenged the email in the first place. Arthur, the judge added an amusing postscript to this. What was it?
Oh, yeah, the postscript. It was hilarious. Well, it was a bit of legal blah, blah, but the meat is in this quote. It was much longer, but I just picked out a few sentences that will immediately make everybody understand what it's about. The defendant requested that the title of my judgment be amended so that the defendant's name include his university degree of doctor. Now, then some more blah blah blah. Then the judge said, the point has been sprung onto the court at the last minute. Dr. Wright is justly proud of his academic achievement, but I do not think that the court should be dealing with this minor dispute at this very late stage and on such an inadequate basis. Sorry, Craig.
It's so petty. It really does show the character of the man, doesn't it? You will refer to me as doctor, sir.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You're not going to win a case with your doctor title, Mr. Wright.
No.
Sorry.
Wright responded to COPA's edition of the Tulip Trust documents in the case, claiming that, quote, the original deed of trust has been lost, unquote, adding that he, quote, denies that the documents referred to in those paragraphs were forged or otherwise doctored, unquote, and also denied that he, quote, has a history, unquote, of the kind of document tampering that the deed of trust illustrated. Around the same time, Wright posted in his Slack group, where his critics couldn't see, quote, ironically, the COPA case will fall apart before it even starts. In a few weeks, the case will end and the evidence will show that I created Bitcoin alone, unquote. COPA tweeted that it had landed the first blow, to which Wright responded by saying, quote, won my ass, I want the trust documents in court, unquote, which made him a very lucky boy. CoinGeek amazingly responded to the ruling with a claim that COPA was, quote, winning on crypto Twitter but losing in a court of law, adding that, quote, COPA's triumphant proclamations seem all the more incongruous given that Wright's attorneys now have a solid claim on which to require COPA to pay the legal costs Wright incurred in forcing COPA to drop its bid to introduce the Kleiman versus Wright judge's pretrial opinions, unquote. It didn't. Wright was ordered to pay £70,000 towards COPA's legal costs for his failed strikeout claims. At the same time as the COPA filing, Wright's counsel in the Kleiman vs. Wright case tried, in an odd move, to get the Kleiman trial dismissed halfway through following 3.5 years of failed attempts. This led to questions over the evidence that would, were the filing successful, not be made public. One of the reasons for this filing, put forward by Calvin Ayer among others, was that Wright wanted to save his best evidence for the COPA trial, having submitted it and being on the verge of presenting it in the Kleiman trial, i.e. Bombshell Monday. We don't need to go into the ludicrous nature of this claim here, but the idea grew that Wright, in Ayer's words, was going to, quote, roll out his evidence in COPA in UK, unquote, leaving many thinking that there was a trove of evidence not used in the Kleiman case that was being intentionally held back for COPA. This, however, was dismissed by one of Wright's attorneys, Amanda McGovern, after the Kleiman trial.
Were certain pieces of evidence strategically reserved for the COPA case instead of bringing them up in the Kleiman case?
No. You never strategically reserve evidence that you need to win a case for another case. Period.
Going into 2022, the idea that COPA was only after Wright's patents had gripped the BSV community like a virus, with a message pushed by the likes of Ayer, Kurt Vuckert Jr., and the bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing monstrosities on Reddit. Vuckert Jr., in fact, summed up the approach succinctly. Quote, COPPA is an organization formed to litigate on behalf of MasterCard, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jack Dorsey's associated blockchain brands to assert control over the intellectual property of Satoshi Nakamoto. Unquote. This, once again, played into the narrative that the COPPA versus Craig Wright case was a case of good versus evil. Vuckert Jr.'s claim had been given additional firepower in February 2022 when Meta, formerly Facebook, joined COPPA, a move that was catnip to the BSV conspiracy theorists and started a chain of reasoning that continues to this day. The reasoning goes like this. Anyone who wants Craig Wright to lose the COPPA case is therefore automatically supportive of all the actions, past and present, of all member companies, even those that join months down the line. In fact, it apparently goes deeper than this. One Reddit legend claimed that, quote, Zuck and Jack Dorsey, interfered with the 2020 elections and now they team up again to go after CSW. Interesting connection. There are no coincidences, unquote. Yes. Yes, there fucking are. Wright took the news that Meta was joining COPPA with his usual common sense approach, claiming in his Slack group, quote, why do you think both Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey are suing me? It is not because I'm saying I'm Satoshi. I may happen to be, and I am. They are suing me because I'm a threat to their business model. Welcome to the end of social media as you knew it. I am Satoshi. I am the creator of Bitcoin. And in this current battle with both Zuckerberg and Dorsey, I am going to rock social media to its foundations and bring it crashing around them. Unquote. Arthur, I don't know anyone who celebrated Meta joining COPPA or who actually cared, but this idea that we're somehow on Team Zuckerberg, it's just ridiculous. I deleted my Facebook account in about 2015, and I think it's one of the great evils of the 21st century. I gave a football analogy on Twitter, which I think sums it up. If my team is going for the title and my rival is playing a match, I'm going to be supporting the team they're up against. It doesn't mean I want that team to win, I just want my rival to lose. Is that a fair summary?
For me, yeah, because I have almost the same story here, although I never had a Facebook account in the first place, but because I didn't really care about Facebook, now Meta. But on the other hand, I found it a good move, of course, in general, that more patents are becoming available in the pool for everyone to enjoy for free. But yeah, otherwise, Facebook and CEO Mark Zuckerberg, they don't do me much, let's be honest.
Nothing much happened in the case in the first half of 2022, with a case management conference planned for June that year. But the day before the conference, COPPA asked the new deputy master judge, Jason Rayburn, to recuse himself, presumably because he was once employed by Baker McKenzie, a company that has worked for Craig Wright and Enchain in the past. This action, coming as late in the day as it did, was taken by Wright supporters as a sign that COPPA was doing all it could to delay the case. CoinGeek claimed that COPPA had, quote, bitten off more than it can chew, unquote, citing an unwillingness to meet Wright in court. Calvin Ayer chimed in to say, quote, as expected, COPPA does not want to face Craig in court. COPPA delays Craig Wright Bitcoin white paper trial until 2024, unquote. At this point, it's worth remembering that Calvin Ayer is the first to complain about impartial judges, only ever after verdicts have gone against Craig Wright, of course. So of all people, you'd think he would appreciate getting a potentially biased one out of a case, but seemingly not. For all its complaints, CoinGeek was forced to note that the case management meeting had been delayed by only 3 months, so hardly worth getting all upset about. One thing we did get in July 2022 was a court date, 20 days between January and March 2024. Once again, this was heavily criticised by the BSV camp, who decried the delay, claiming that it was somehow dictated by COPPA because, again, they were scared of facing Wright in court, despite being the ones who had brought the case, forgetting that Kleiman versus Wright took almost 4 years to get to court. Even Craig Wright claimed in February 2023, 7 months after the date had been settled, that COPPA was, quote, trying to avoid court, quote, and that he was pushing for sooner, unquote. Talking of Wright, he reactivated his Twitter account in February 2022 and began tweeting about COPPA that October, with his first comment on the case being a claim that it would no longer exist as an entity after he was finished with it. And once he started on this topic, he couldn't stop, discussing in one thread how he would, quote, tear apart BTC consensus in front of a court, unquote, during the COPPA trial, and thanking COPPA for giving him the chance to explain to the world how Bitcoin nodes really work, claiming, quote, we will have the eyes of the world on us, unquote. This taps into Wright's idea that COPPA has fundamentally misunderstood what Bitcoin is, giving him the chance to educate everyone on the stand, something that got this well-known BSV clown very excited.
It's worth noting that the definitions listed by COPPA in their claim are erroneous, and as a result, this introduces the ability to argue what Bitcoin truly is and how it was hijacked. Oof, ooh, they don't even know what they're doing because they're that effing stupid.
Arthur, Craig Wright really seems to think that the world is going to be waiting with bated breath for him to explain how Bitcoin works during the COPPA trial, as if this is going to be the most explosive thing about it. How many people outside of his cabal are going to be following live tweets or reading crypto news outlets about his opinion on Bitcoin nodes?
Hardly anyone.
No, pretty much.
Yeah, not many, I'm afraid. I mean, of course, everyone is focused on the Satoshi element, and but hardly anyone outside of his little cult will care what he thinks about Bitcoin and Bitcoin nodes in detail. It's not what I think is what the world media will be paying attention to. Mm-hmm. Anyone who is following this case is only interested in one question. Is he Satoshi or not? And do most of the people understand what Bitcoin nodes are doing?
No.
And what Craig Wright, his nuance in this Bitcoin nodes story is? I don't think that anyone cares.
So, as far as Craig Wright's camp went, this trial was now about three things. Wright being Satoshi, Bitcoin not being Bitcoin anymore, and comprehensive patent theft. Oh, and Silicon Valley. And social media advertising. And bullying. And corporate greed. And God knows what else. With the court dates decided, and COPPA paying almost £3 million in security costs, attention could turn to evidence collection. This excited Wright a great deal, as a 21st of June tweet showed. Quote, what happens when the evidence is irrefutable? Welcome to what is coming, unquote. And that is where we leave this first episode. Don't worry though, we'll be back very soon to detail exactly what happened when Craig Wright's irrefutable evidence landed in the lap of digital forensics expert James Madden. And Arthur, this is something that our listeners aren't going to want to miss, isn't it?
Oh, that's for sure. I've read the Meta 50 report in detail, maybe not all of them, but more than half of them I studied. Oh man, they're good. This is such a nice summary, an extensive summary, of course, because there are no less than 50 of those forgeries. And let's not forget, there are a subset of the 431 forgeries being found. Knowing that Craig Wright has no other evidence dated before July 2011 that will prove that he is Satoshi Nakamoto, the Meta 50 report also consists, again, like in the HODL Not Norway case, with white paper drafts, coffee-stained stuff, rusty staples,
all the classics,
BDO meeting minutes,
Craig Wright's greatest hits.
Oh my God, it's the greatest hits of Craig Wright made forgeries.
Great stuff. Well, we'll cover that all and more in part two. And I look forward to talking to you about it.
Of course. Looking forward, Mark.
Speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice to get these episodes the moment they drop. And if you enjoyed what you heard, we'd really appreciate a star rating and even a review to help us get this out to as many people as possible. Our monthly bonus episodes are available to download from our website for a small consideration. And if you'd like to access all these bonus episodes, plus these monthly updates a few days early and other goodies, you can do so by becoming a Dr. Bitcoin supporter. See the details in the show notes for information on how to do this, or head to our website, drbitcoinpod.com. That's drbitcoinpod.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at drbitcoinpod, and you can email us at drbitcoinpod@gmail.com. That's drbitcoinpod@gmail.com. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.
You've been listening to Dr. Bitcoin, the man who wasn't Satoshi Nakamoto. Written by Mark Hunter, with additional material by Arthur Van Pelt. Editing and production by Mark Hunter. This has been a Contented Media production.